So welcome, everybody. I am Michael Seely. We're here on the Sports Psychology Podcast talking with Greg Pelican, General Manager of Naples Cyclery and champion duathlete. And we're here to talk about goals and goal setting because it's start of January. And what happens right around this time, around January 10th, what happens to people's goals and dreams?
They set them.
They set them. And sometimes they could fade away, too.
Yeah.
So I thought it'd be a good idea to have a podcast on goal setting.
Yeah.
Because there's a difference between dreams and goals, I think. A lot of people, New Year's Eve resolutions, right? I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this.
Or yeah.
I'm going to set some goals for the year. And it's so easy to get off track. And I think this would be helpful for people to talk about goal setting, some of the pitfalls of it, how to follow through, how to stay accountable.
Yeah.
And so I was thinking today we could talk about what's called SMART goals, S-M-A-R-T, which is, wrote it down here, make sure we remember because there's different ways to talk about SMART goals. It's specific, it stands for the S, measurable, achievable, I say relevant, mm-hmm. and timely. All of those, I think, are important for goal setting. So I was thinking, Greg, we could talk about maybe just sort of the common problem of setting goals, or how people might set a goal, not follow through, or things you've seen when coaching athletes where they have like maybe a dream and it's not really a goal and they don't set themselves up for success. So like, what are some things, like problems you might see?
I think like one of the big problems is you get that dream, you're all excited, you're focused, you want to do it, and then the day-to-day work that you have to put in is not really glamorous sometimes.
Yeah.
It's, it might be cold, it might be rainy, you gotta go out there and go training. And so you really have to break it down to not just, you know, that goal that you're reaching, but every day, what are you trying to accomplish?
Yeah.
And then, you know, through the week, through the month. And I think a coach really helps in that respect to kind of set those daily workouts and then have to be accountable to follow them, for sure.
Right, yeah. Right. So mini goals, basically you want to be thinking about every day that you're out there, you are striving toward your goal. And keeping that in mind, that a big perspective, like everything, all those days add up to the event or whatever the goal is that you have.
Yeah.
And just reminding yourself of that, right?
And I think when you put in all the work, then when you're on the starting line, you're saying, okay, you know, I'm ready, I'm prepared, I did what I was supposed to do, and just have to execute at this point.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So just building that confidence, putting in the work.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, the thing is kind of interesting is that I'm very, you know, in the moment, stream kind of type of person. But even if there's the workout for the next day, I need to be thinking about even the day before and the night before, what do I need to do? I mean, it could be an equipment thing. It could be nutrition. And I actually, you know, psych myself up for that workout and think about what I need to do that day and even perhaps what's happening in the week.
Mm-hmm.
So there needs to be some structure. And of course, as a coach, I'm putting those ground lines in, those steps that they need to do, not just for the day, but for the week. So they kind of get structure for it.
Right, right. So you can have that big goal dream into the future, but if you don't have structure or maybe even like scaffolding or something so that you can, you won't fall off track. You'll keep your motivation up.
Yeah.
Keep perspective of like the progress really that you're making toward your goal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even like, and it's not just the workout, sometimes it's rest. So some type A athletes, they never want to take any rest. They never want to take any downtime. But of course, the training program that's good is going to incorporate hard work and also rest to recover and build up so you don't overdo it, don't overtrain, for sure.
Right, right. Because you can be so excited about your goal and so motivated that you're not even maybe taking rest. Like,
exactly.
I'm taking a day off, I'm slacking, right? So you got to be thinking about you're building like a big brick building, if you will, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, in working with some athletes as well, just moving our microphone here, is there, the thing I see is a problem between like dreams and goals.
Mm-hmm.
Is so many athletes will think about, well, I really would like to win this event, or I'm doing this huge event next year or this year, and I'm just going to do it, right? And I call that a dream. Like, that's great to have aspirations. I think that's the starting point for like goal setting of great, dream big, dream huge, right?
Sure.
And then, and that's a great state to be in because it fuels the desire, it fuels the just the killer instinct, right? And then I think that's when you need either a coach or I want to talk about the SMART formula here, which can really dial it into, I'll call it reality.
Sure.
Like, I don't want to kill anyone's dreams here, but at the same time, you do want to achieve your goal, and you got to set yourself up for success, right?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So I was thinking, okay, the SMART formula, S-M-A-R-T, everyone can Google this, it's pretty famous, right?
Yeah.
And it's in a way kind of boring. It's like, I just want to set my goal, and I want Greg to help me, and let's go, right?
Yeah.
But like, I love this formula, and I always use it. Specific, like you have to have a specific goal. You can't just say, you know, I really would like to win the world championships. Or I'd really like to win the Leadville 100 or whatever it is. You got to be really specific. Like, what exactly do you want to achieve? Is like, and that gets down to the R and the SMART, which is like relevant. Is it important to you?
Yeah.
Right. Also, it gets to achievable. A.
Right.
Like, can you actually do it?
Sure.
Right. So in the SMART goals, I think that you can jump around when you're setting your goal. You don't have to go S-M-A-R-T. You may want to go to achievable, like to see, check yourself if that's
sure.
really true.
Yeah.
So maybe like an example of, what if we invented a generic athlete? Like who wants to, let's say, maybe like a Cat 1 cyclist or a Cat 2 cyclist, like they just leveled up and they want to win nationals.
Yeah.
Which is an awesome dream, right? So, and let's say this person has a lot of talent, but maybe not a lot of experience meeting goals, or they haven't really been coached a lot. If we apply this formula, right, what would we maybe ask this athlete? Like, hey, I really want to win nationals this year. Like that's a dream, right? So we would say, I think the next step really would be the A, is that achievable, right?
Sure. Yeah.
But isn't that's to me, that's really tricky because as a coach, you don't want to kill someone's dream.
Yeah.
But you want to have them be successful. So like, how do you have that conversation, you think, where you kind of check someone?
Yeah, I think like, especially with the scientific data that we use all the time. Yeah. So for example, if Nationals has a 5K climb, and last year the people in your age group were putting, or in that category, were putting out so many watts per kilogram. Mm-hmm. So we'd look at his data to say, hey, you know, have you achieved this before? Let's look at your data. Have you done any races like this? What were your watts per kilogram? And it might be something like, okay, you know, you're 20 watts off or whatever. And that's something that we can work on, and that goes back to the specific training that we're going to try to simulate that race and test against that and see where we are. So it may not be 100% determined that it's achievable, and it is a dream, but in the process of training and working there and maybe doing some like C races and B races, to kind of gauge that progress and step it up for that, which happens a lot when you're reaching, for sure.
Right, right. So it's that gets to maybe the measurable part, measuring your steps along the way towards your goal. But what we're talking about achievable still. So using equipment and data and getting that feedback and saying, okay, here's what the kind of wattage these people were doing at Nationals or in this particular road course.
Yeah.
If you're not anywhere close to that right now, we got a ways to go.
Yeah. Right?
And that's great. You can still be excited about your goal, but you need to start at point A, right?
Yeah.
Right. So I love that. So it's really getting either a coach or just without a coach, getting that data set up to measure. Like, okay, I've decided now, okay, this is achievable.
Yeah.
Let's say that I'm off by like 50 watts or whatever, but I'm still going to train this and I'm going to get points along the way and I'm going to test myself. And let's say like 2 months before Nationals, I am hitting that wattage.
Right.
Right. So that's a good way to have that conversation as a coach, right? It's like,
it is. And it might come down to, let's say you, redefine what that goal is.
Yeah.
Perhaps like if you haven't had a race with this caliber of athletes before,
yeah,
and you have some growth to do or performance improvement,
yeah,
you might say, hey, maybe top 10, maybe podium,
yeah,
and really use that to build in year two to try to go for overall.
Right.
Because it's not too realistic that you're just going to jump into a national championship in your new category and win that category.
Right.
And so, you know, kind of working together and looking at what the past experience performance was, where it needs to be, and kind of doing something realistic about it.
It's so tricky as a coach. Like, you don't want to kill someone's dream. You want to get them fired up.
Right.
But I think having that hard conversation, especially with like a really passionate athlete, and getting it grounded in reality. I'm making air quotes right now, but like you have to do that. And I think having that honest conversation and with someone who's experienced can really help that athlete get and really even more motivation because they believe now that they got feedback from someone that it is achievable.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I've actually seen the opposite in the sense that I see the potential in people and athletes and I bring it to them. I'm like, you know, you can do this.
Yeah.
You can, you know, go to the national championship or you can qualify for worlds. I know you can do it and sort of give them confidence and give them a path.
Yeah.
It's almost rare that someone's come to me and said, I'm going to win the national championship. Uh-huh. Help me get there. And I mean, that's happened, but it's more, I think, encouraging someone that you've been working with. Mm-hmm. Like, wow, you know, you really have the potential to do this.
Right.
And that's really rewarding to see.
Yeah.
That. I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah, no, it's true. Like what the coach's role is to see that potential in the athlete.
Yeah.
Cause there is like, say there's athletes who are more humble or, maybe don't believe they can do it.
Sure.
If with your experience, years and years of coaching people, you can see that, like you can see a diamond in the rough, right?
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But everything has to be there too. There has to be the drive, the motivation, the discipline,
right.
The intelligence. Like it's tough, but like if you can recognize that and say, hey, you know what, you can win nationals, even though they think, well, I don't know, I haven't done that yet.
Yeah.
So that's tricky. Again, as a coach, you want to be set people up for success, either like push them or sometimes ground them in reality, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Cool.
For sure.
Cool. Well, you know, again, I was thinking about the SMART formula here, and I want to talk about relevance. So that's the S-M-A-R-T, the R part.
Mm-hmm.
Other people have said realistic for R,
yeah.
But you already have achievable. Mm-hmm. So I think that's it's correct to say relevant.
Sure.
To me, I think this is huge. Like, especially, let's say that it's January now, and you have nationals in August or something like that, mm-hmm. right? That's a ways away.
Yeah.
There's going to be bumps, proverbial bumps in the road.
Sure.
Hopefully not literal, right? So I think it's important to make it relevant. Like, why do you really want to do this? Not just, it would be cool to have a Stars and Stripes jersey, or I would feel good about myself. Mm-hmm. That's cool. But like, I like to help athletes tie it into almost like a spiritual reason. Like, if I win nationals, I'm going to inspire other people. I'm going to tell my story and inspire other people.
Sure.
And that's going to have a ripple effect.
Yeah.
Like, if I come back to my hometown with the jersey, that's going to inspire people in my hometown, which is going to inspire them to up-level their life in different ways, and they'll talk about it. It's kind of like getting out of just the me reasons,
right.
and like broader, like I'm going to help my cycling community.
Sure.
I'm going to use this as a way to build my career and help more people. Like tying it into just kind of like helping the world almost with this achievement. I like to get people into that zone for the relevance.
Mm-hmm.
For you in your coaching, do you work on that of like how important is this to you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you have to look at what motivates somebody,
mm-hmm.
and you know, short term and long term.
Yeah,
and you know, kind of push those buttons.
Yeah,
and make sure that there's good reasoning. So when they're having an off day, or they get dropped in a break or something like that, and the race isn't over, and they still have to fight back. You know, they have to really believe in why they're there. They have to believe in themselves. They have to believe in their training.
Yeah.
And so you kind of look to, maybe it's spiritual a little bit, like pretty deep of, you know, what it's about, because at the end of the day, it's just you. When you got dropped out there, you've got to fight back and, you know, and hope that the break comes back and you attack again, you win the race. And there's no free rides.
Let's say, like, this hypothetical racer we're talking about, let's say that it's like July and it's August is nationals or whatever the schedule is this year. I don't know. And let's say they have a bad race. And, you know, afterwards they, you know, they call you or text you and like, hey man, I don't know about nationals. Like, I got totally dropped in this race. I never get dropped by these guys. And they just have like a bad day. And, you know, then their self-talk switches. Like, maybe I can't do this. You know, and they're using one measurement. And maybe that great races before that. Like, what would you say to them if they had a bad race?
Again, sort of reframe the picture to a broader scope. What we're trying to achieve. What they've accomplished over the years, over that year or that period. And even, you know, point to other races where things worked out great. And, you know, it's just reality that you can't be on every day. You know, something like bike racing, there's so many factors that can control the end of the race. You know, you could just read the race wrong. You could follow the wrong wheel, whatever. And and that leads to something else. So, you know, you can't do it 100% of the time. And just sort of learn from that experience, step it up. And don't let it happen again, whatever, you know, whatever the thing that was made it go wrong.
I'm trying to put myself in the actual position of this hypothetical racer. And I listened to what you were saying. And I was trying to put myself in the position of like, oh man, this sucks. I suck. And just what you said there, like all the, so many factors that go into a competition helped me right now. Cause it's like, oh, maybe it was my fault partially, but there's all this other, all these factors, and you can't always control them. No, I love that. It's a great boost. So I want to talk about the measurable part of the SMART goal. And I think what I mean by that is, how can you put milestones toward your goal? Like, how can you measure it? And we were talking about that earlier, like if you're tracking your wattage, like now I'm close to the watts from this, from last year's course. Other ways athletes can measure their progress toward their goal. So it keeps them going motivated, number one, and then also just being realistic, like on track. Like, what are other things people can do to measure progress?
I mean, certainly tools like Training Peaks, where you can look at the volume of work that's being done. You could set targets for that. And you could, you can do sort of tests in regular intervals and see how those tests, how you're doing on those tests, how they're performing. I like to use like C races as tests too. And because you can push yourself harder in a race than you can in training. So in that C race, let's say the goal is average wattage of whatever, you want to at least hit that goal, and then maybe it's to get on the podium and, you know, make it first over this climb, whatever. Look at the target race that we're doing and make some, you know, specific goals for that race. Try to achieve them, focus on what the strategy is, try to achieve them, and then look at the results, the actual data for the race.
I think that's important. There's a lot of athletes who don't do enough competitions.
Totally agree.
It's like, I want to get it perfect in training first. But it is important because you can't, the best simulation for a race is a race. So a lot of these C races, like you're talking about, smaller competitions. And you can even create that with some of your friends and buddies. Like, let's have a, you know, a mock training race or a time trial or something like that. You need to get that, that competitive environment and measure that. That's great. I think, again, so many athletes don't do enough competitions.
And if you look at pros, like how often they race and some of the, you know, for them, it is sometimes training. It's building them to another point. And, you know, I've raced many, many years, and what I've learned is, it's not always perfect where you have that race when you want it to be. And so you just, you have to race and have a bad race or two to have those good races.
Yeah.
And you can't just like not race at all and then go to the national championships and expect that you're going to win it or perform 100%. And I think maybe the main reason for that is mentally, right?
Yeah.
Like you have to believe that you've tested yourself.
Yeah.
You're ready to do it.
Yeah.
And if I haven't been racing for a couple of months, I go to the line, I don't feel ready. I mean, no matter how much training I did, like it's about racing, competing head to head with someone else and beating them. It's cutthroat. I mean, when you really come down to it, and you have to have that mindset, you know, to win. It's just reality.
Yeah, no, it's true. I think the more that you can throw yourself into the fire, have like you have some bad races.
Yeah.
Because when you get on that start line for the big event, you can look back and say, man, I put in the work.
Yeah.
Like there's just so much confidence in knowing that you put the work in.
Yeah.
There's so much like, but you haven't been doing the races. You show up on the start line. Like, God, I wonder what that guy's been doing.
Yeah.
But if you've been competing with them.
So like the thing that's crazy to me, and of course everyone's doing virtual training.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's totally different when you're sprinting for the line with someone else and you're eye to eye and you're edging each other for 20 seconds and you beat them to the line.
Right.
That has way different, you know, feeling than looking at what your wattage was or in some kind of, you know, virtual event or ride. It's like totally different.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it is.
And the other thing is, you know, you could look at someone's power data and you can't even tell who won. You look at two, it's like that split second when someone attacked or that 20 seconds they put in this.
Yeah.
You know, it's really hard to tell just by looking at data who won the race when you're talking about 20 people coming over a line in 5 seconds or 10 seconds,
Yeah.
So there's so many nuances to it without doing it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's where that experience and that confidence comes in and that feedback you get from it.
Yeah, definitely. You gotta simulate, So Greg, I want to talk about accountability.
Yeah.
So I think, again, the SMART formula is good. Everything we're talking about is super helpful for athletes.
Sure.
And it works. But I want to talk about accountability. And I think this is, you know, a coach can provide accountability, but can you think of any other things that would keep people accountable to the maybe their routines and habits and training? Because it can be on the way to your goal. There's so many points, again, like after a bad race, or if you get sick, or if you're just overtraining a little bit, or if you're feeling just for whatever reason lack of motivation, and you say, you know what, I'm going to take today off, or I'm going to go easy this week. I'm not going to follow Greg's program. I'm going to take it easy. Like, how do you keep people accountable at times when they feel kind of like, you know, dipping down?
Yeah, I think there's like two things that come to mind. One is if you have training partners that you train with all the time and your trust and your buddies, like, I almost, you know, feel that that training partner should say, hey, you know, motivate them, push them through that bad day, that bad period, and just kind of help them. And, you know, you help each other.
Yeah.
And if you have, you know, a group that trains together, four or five people, you know, it might be something where someone says, hey, Greg, you okay? Like, I just didn't have it today. Well, come on, let's, you know, whatever, let's go do this. And and it's just that sort of positive energy and that positive feedback helps get you through that period, because everyone has highs and lows. And I think teamwork and friends, you know, and training partners help get through that. The other thing for me is that if I visualize what that goal is and I keep reminding myself and seeing what I'm trying to achieve in that race, subconsciously, I do things that help get me there. I don't even think it's conscious. I'm thinking about it. I'm like, yeah, I need to do those hill repeats or whatever it is. I lock into the steps that are going to help me achieve that race or achieve that goal. And it's really just sort of that visualization and kind of experience that I know these things mm-hmm. are going to help. And if I don't do them, mm-hmm. I can't expect myself mm-hmm. to be where I want to be in the race day. So
yeah,
it's sort of my own internal clock or mm-hmm. accountability that I answer to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I put a pretty high standard on myself, and I think most of the athletes I coach are the same.
Right, yeah. Right. So there's that internal accountability, just reminding yourself.
Yeah.
And I think it's huge what you said. Having a positive peer group is on the same level of, as you, same standards, or even higher for that matter.
Right, right.
They can remind you to keep each other accountable.
Yeah.
That's not always possible, but it's super helpful. And I think we're really blessed here in Naples, Florida, for having group rides that we have around here, and we keep each other accountable. Yeah. Like, haven't seen you in a couple days. Like, oh man, I feel bad. And then you want to get back out there.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. That's exactly it.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Greg, I think we're going to wrap up.
Okay.
This has been really fun talking here in Naples Cyclery in sunny Naples, Florida. And so again, just to recap, we're talking about SMART goals. That's specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and timely. Listen to this podcast again. Go over this. Google this. You can get more specific information on that, helping you stay on track to meet goals. Turn your dreams into goals. You can do it. And Greg, it's been fun. Okay.
Thanks.
Okay. All right, everyone.
Achieve your goals.
That's right. Good luck.